And without seeking to limit debate in any way, we're under a bit of time pressure in general. I honestly thought we'd be done by now. Last week I thought we'd be done by now. And then helicopters happened. So here we are. That was good though. I mean, I learned a lot about Robert's rules that morning, that evening and that morning. So that was good. All right. We have more than enough to get started. Have you got a quick update for us?
We do.
Okay.
And Clix is just making a copy of this, too, so that if you want to have it for reference. So we tried a little bit different presentation.
Okay.
So very quickly, you'll see at the top line where we started, 5.3. The impact of a few of the motions that are likely to pass, the debt smoothing, fuel reduction, and the additional assessment growth, bring us back to 5.4. As of the end of the day yesterday, if all the proposed motions were approved, it would be a 1.5% increase. Within that 1.5%, though, there are some one-time items. So the impact of those annualization motions as well, within that 1.5, there's about $9 million of annualization. So there would be a shift and a reduction in the tax rate, moving the one-time items instead of funded from the tax levy to the funding from the annualization. So it would be a reduction of 0.2%. And lastly, the balance on the ongoing pool of $9 million, there's about $1 million left still to be allocated.
So that would be another 0.1 reduction if it
That's
was.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else?
That's all we have.
Oh, I appreciate this. This is
a better format.
Appreciate it. Yes. Thank you.
Yes, Clix is making a copy for you.
I'm just going to give one more call. Are there any more amendments lingering out there that councillors would like to make before we start the debate? You want to ask a question on that? Sure, that's fair.
Yeah, because I
clarification on that.
Yeah. Where's the debt? So the debt that you have smoothed out, 0.5%, that is for the 2015, right?
Yes.
Then next year.
Then 16.
All the capital motions that we have passed are included in that.
Yes, and we had actually shared with you a sheet that showed you what the implications for 16, 17, and 18 would be.
All right, good. Okay. Just need to, thank you.
Okay. Super. So I'll call once more. Are there any more? Councillor McKean, question?
Yeah, thank you. I think I was remiss on the amendment to do with the triathlon. I think I said one time, and it is Ms. Rosen, a five-year commitment, isn't it?
It is a five-year commitment that we were asking for, yes, and so the best thing to do would be ongoing.
Right.
And then in 5 years' time, it would then be removed from the base budget.
Okay.
Did you want to make a revision to that at this time or when we come to it?
It's fine. I think when we come to it, I just wanted to give council the heads up on
which
that.
Which motion is that one?
I believe it's five.
Five? Mm-hmm. Okay, so when we come to it, we'll bear in mind funding source. Okay. Councillor Anderson?
Is the motion document that's purple the one that is at the end of our discussion and ready for being voted on? No, that's operating.
The capital is in here as well.
Yes, capital is at the end of this document.
This package includes
capital. Updated capital is at
the end. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So yeah, you can toss your lavender. Okay. So are we ready to start debating amendments then? Sounds like we are at that time. Okay. First up is Op 1, Community Services, Parks and Rec, 2015 Budget Increase 107. Councillor Nicol.
I think the package speaks for itself. This is to put some one-time, no, we changed it, that's right, to ongoing.
Did you want to change
ongoing.
It to ongoing?
To ongoing.
From, for funds available from council?
Exactly.
Okay.
And
is that
friendly?
I just want to check, is that friendly to everyone to change this to ongoing? No objections to that?
I don't think there's much chat we need to have about the necessity for Green Shack and how important it is to some of these neighborhoods. And so my comments are very brief and to the point that if there's something we should be doing for these neighborhoods is allowing the youth in these neighborhoods an option for this type of program. So I hope you support it. It's $107,000. I have noticed I've not put in many asks, except for the big one up front. But I hope everyone can see their way to support this.
Councillor Sohi?
Just need some clarification. I support this. And this is related to the reduction that the province made, right?
That's correct.
So we are filling into that gap where province had a role to play, but they pulled out of their role. Now we are picking up the slack.
I don't know if I'd go exactly like that.
Okay.
The province cut back.
Yeah.
We, in the last couple of years, have come back to council and have had many discussions about how to adjust the program and put in some extra money. And so, but this... this is Councillor Nichols' strong opinion that where we had cut back the part day, that we need to go full day in some particular high needs areas.
Oh, absolutely, and I support that, right? But we wouldn't be talking about this if STEP funding wasn't reduced.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
That's the point I want to make. That
ultimately, you're right. Yeah. But there's been a lot of ins and outs since then.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though it's not a huge amount of money, but this is one area out there where we are, again, trying to meet the needs of the community with the very little resources that we have, every 8 cents to the dollar that we collect in taxes, and filling into the responsibility of the province. With that, I'm going to support this, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further question, commentary? I don't see anyone else on the board, so I think we're ready for the vote. Please vote. Display the vote. And that's carried.
Thank you very much.
Next up is Op 2 from Councillor Loken.
Thank you. I think the REACH presentation is probably all fresh in our minds. This, like Green Shack, I would describe as a very important early intervention program, something that I think will pay dividends later on down the road. We talk about policing dollars and how much money we're putting into that budget, and we're putting money into that budget because of the fact that in some cases that perhaps kids back in the day were not engaged, they didn't have a place to belong, they didn't feel loved, and this is what this program does. And again, the more that we can do early intervention in the system, and I know the chief certainly gets it as well, the better off we're going to be in the future. So I think this is a program about that. It's been successful. For it to continue to be successful, we need to keep supporting it. So I hope council will support it. Thanks.
Others? Councillor Sohi?
I hate to say this again, Mr. Mayor, but this is again another example where we are picking up the pieces. And when you look at the return on the investment being made through the Safe Communities funding, where this program started, every dollar they invested, there was $4.60 in the return, and majority of that return went to reduce cost for the province, along with building strong and healthy young people and communities, and enabling parents to go out into the workplace and make a decent living and help with alleviate some of the poverty. So there are very many societal benefits. Again, we are trying to do the right things by picking up the pieces where other federal government should have played a greater role. With that, I think this is critical to support, and I'm going to support it, and I hope other council members support it as well.
Councilor McKean.
I will be supporting this, and I think, you know, if you juxtapose this investment against the policing budget, it only makes sense. And it really struck me that the discrepancy in the cost between policing and prevention. And REACH does a remarkable job of coordinating organizations in these public or community safety and prevention programs. And, you know, that we're, I think it's a bit of a shame, actually, that we're still investing a relative drop in the bucket compared to our policing costs, which are only escalating and will continue to escalate. And I hope at some future date we'll find the ratio start to change more. But this program has proven itself, and I hope, again, everybody supports this.
Councillor Essinger, take the chair.
Have the chair.
Well, I have to be honest with you, members of council, I have great difficulty supporting this for the reasons that Councillor Sohi indicated, not because of a lack of faith in what REACH is doing, rather, but with an abundance of faith that REACH is doing the right thing in a way that benefits the whole community, but whose principal financial return on investment accrues to another order of government. And this is not our jurisdiction. And we keep entering into the jurisdictions of others where they fail to do the work. And the one problem is that when we do that, we do it with the property tax levy. And this budget is going to have a significant increase because of infrastructure and because of core services that we need to invest in. And if we, on top of that, are also further moving into the jurisdiction of another order of government, that just drives that property tax burden even higher. And we all know that. So this isn't a lecture, because we all know that. But this has to stop at some point. And this is what the charter conversation is about, is getting the province to acknowledge that it has a role to play in prevention in our cities that will produce a huge return on investment for them in health and in justice. And yes, it's true that we will receive a return as well in reduced long-term need for policing by doing this, but that doesn't mean that we should be paying for this. We should be paying for 20 cents on the dollar on this. We should be putting $100,000 into this. Somebody else should be putting $400,000 because they're going to save tens of millions of dollars in jail costs and in health care costs, and we'll all benefit from higher productivity from this. And I'm going to make the same comments when the police budget comes up, and you heard my line of questioning for this. So with all of that in mind, and with a desire to demonstrate some leadership, what I would like to do is, in this case, and I have a different proposal for police when we get to it, is in this case, amend this to be one time. Because I will not commit to funding this on an ongoing basis. I will commit to supporting it because of the good that it does, so that the kids get the benefit from it. But I cannot support funding this on an ongoing basis. At some point, the responsible orders of government will need to step up and assist us in ensuring that these kids are successful. Because the broader community and the income and corporate taxpayer and employers and the Crown are ultimately the great beneficiaries there. Orders of magnitude higher than us. And there's no disputing that this should be funded. But if it doesn't get funded by the province, then it comes back to us. And that has to stop. That is the kind of change that needs to come out of the city charter process, is that things like this that are important, that make a difference for our kids and make our community safer, need to be paid for by the beneficiaries of that, those who will reap the greatest social return on investment from it, which is a different order of government than the one that is over-reliant on the property tax as it is. And so that's why I'm going to propose an amendment that we don't have one-time funds available yet in the budget. So there's one other thing we could do, which is postpone this a little bit until we generate potentially some one-time funds. Or we can fund it from the tax levy, but for 1 year. And then it would have to, we would have to discuss this again next year. So I think at this point, what I'll suggest is that it be funded on a one-time basis with funding from funds available for City Council, and then that would release the $500,000 again next year, and we'd have to have this discussion again next year if there's no support for community safety investment
from
other orders of government. So that's my motion, is to change it to be one time, so it'll come back.
So we have a motion on the table. Does that take over?
Yeah, how we that debate? Supersedes. Okay. We have to debate that, the merits of one time versus ongoing.
Okay, and so we'll go to Councillor Loken.
Well, I guess one time is better than nothing, but we can sit here for 3 days and we can go through all of these amendments pretty much, and we can say the province has a responsibility for a lot of this stuff. So what do we do then? Does that stop us from moving forward on things that are important like this? On things that will affect kids that have nothing to do with the politics out there? And, you know, the city charter is all well and good, but we haven't seen anything from it yet, except the paper that's written on. So I'll support this, but I'm reluctant to sit here for 3 days and have this same conversation, because we're constantly waiting for something from the province. Well, we haven't got anything from the province. And I don't know that we're going to get anything from the province, the way that the messaging we're getting from there. So it's frustrating to me. I understand the rationale, I understand the argument, but it's frustrating to me. And I hope it doesn't stop us from doing the things that we should be doing. And I would argue that this isn't just the provincial jurisdiction. This is everybody's jurisdiction. This affects kids, this affects families. So I think we need to separate the politics from the reality. And on this one, I would... it is what it is. Thanks.
Councillor Walters.
Thank you. So a question to the mover. One of the challenges for a program like this to be handed only 1 year funding is that you only get handed 1 year funding. And it's difficult to plan, it's difficult to build the capacity of the program. What we heard from them is the need to expand the program, not just maintain what they currently do, but to expand it because the need's there, the data's there. And I agree with you on everything you said around who's responsible for this, the shared responsibility, and that we keep accepting responsibility for what the province in this case should be doing. Is there a way to look at this as a 3-year commitment where it gives them some certainty? The charter process is precarious politically, economically. It gives us a little time to answer many other questions that you've raised about what the charter can achieve for the city. And it gives them some stability and some certainty.
Well, you make a fair point. I'd be willing to look at 2 years, because the source of funds is an ongoing source of funds. I'd be willing to look at 2 years, again, modeling good behavior that 1 year short-term funding does not always help these programs. But I'll just remind you that when this started, it was with 3-year money mm-hmm. from the province, and then they didn't continue the SafeCom grants,
right.
And then we started picking up the bag. So this actually started funded by the province.
That's right. Absolutely. So I recognize that, I think, and you're right. You're absolutely right. But, you know, what they've asked us to do and what I think we can respond to is also, in terms of deciding to fund it for a period of time longer than a year is the right thing to do as well.
And we may see something in this budget. We may not. The charter's a 2-year process, so this would span that gap.
There's some alignment with that.
Yeah.
And it gives them a little more of a running start.
I just don't want to make
space.
An open-ended and permanent commitment to this, but you make a good argument. So if it was friendly, I'd be willing to accept it at 2 year. But that may or may not be friendly to the whole group. So
it would be friendly to me.
Okay, we've had, does anyone oppose it being a friendly amendment, the 2 years?
My intent was to make it not open-ended. So.
Are we okay? So we're considering that friendly?
No, there's one objection to that.
One objection, so. All right, so it's not friendly. Can you amend amendment to an amendment?
No.
I think we have to...
Vote it down.
Madam Clerk?
In this particular case, you can have an amendment to an amendment, which we have on the floor right now, and vote on that.
So Councillor Walter's amendment to is okay, but we'd have to vote on that first?
No, because we already have an amendment, and then there's an amendment to the amendment, so we need to vote on the amendment to the amendment.
Oh, now I'm in this.
On a point of order, if I might suggest, what could happen is if we treat... if we treat one time as 1 year and treat it as a fill-in-the-blank motion, we could vote on the larger first, which would be we could vote on ongoing, yes. 2 year, and then 1 year.
Okay.
Stack up the amendments that way, because the amount's not changing, the length is changing, and you can vote on that from greatest to shortest.
Okay, and then I may entertain conversation on all three, and then we'll begin the voting when we're completed discussion. Is that my understanding, Madam Clerk? That's what I'm doing. So we'll go to Councillor Henderson.
But to do that, you'd need to take an amendment from Councillor Walters that says 2 years, and then that would be stacked up for voting purposes.
So I will move that.
Second.
So I'm sorry, who missed second that? Councillor Sobey.
Second.
All right. All right, so now we'll go to Councillor Henderson.
Yeah, my worry is this, you know, this goes way back to the beginning. We keep on playing ping pong with this program. This was the number one recommendation of our REACH report. It came to us back in the second year, and we said exactly the same thing. They did manage to go away and get the 3-year SAFECOM funding. And my frustration with all the projects that were funded with SAFECOM is we create these the provincial government creates these pilot programs that are huge successes, and then they don't follow through with them. That having been said, they don't follow through with them. And this is about the citizens of our city, and there is huge benefit to the citizens of our city. It is deeply frustrating that the government that should be stepping up is not stepping up. I think it just becomes further evidence of the irrelevancy of that order of government. Quite frankly, they're just pulling themselves out of everything, and I think it makes a greater case for why we are more relevant for the citizens of our city. But nevertheless, I don't think we should make them suffer, and I think we have to pony up with this. I think we can keep on, because the one thing that unfortunately makes the provincial government relevant is they have more money than we do, and have a different source of money than we do. But if we keep on pulling these programs in and out, then we're actually not spending money wisely, because we're not letting them get on with the really good work that we know that has to happen. And I think, you know, we have been playing, as I said, ping pong with this program for 4 years now, and I think we need to give them some stability and let them get on with the really good work that the pilot program demonstrated was there, and then go back and continue to fight with the province to say, you need to step up on this as well. And this is not the only place in this area where they need to step up. I mean, we have a whole poverty initiative as well that this feeds into and completely supports that they're also going to have to step up on. So I think us jumping in now, this is not going to be the total piece of the puzzle in terms of dealing with a lot of this stuff, but I think we need to get on with it, and I think we need to stop playing games with it. I'm angry with the province that they did to this. They did it to the library program as well. But I mean, I don't think anger is a good solution to actually moving this program forward, and I think we should let them do it. So I will be supporting the ongoing funding.
Thank you. We'll go to Councillor Anderson.
Two things. I passed along to Tim Adams the other day. I passed along to Tim Adams the other day some contact web information on the Police Athletic League in New York that started in 1914 and now has 400 chapters across the United States of after-school recreation programming run by police forces. And I suggested that he perhaps try to sit down with Chief Connect and Chief Block and discuss the possibility of our police and or fire departments becoming significantly involved in a program like this. The Police Athletic League provides both the manpower and the money for this program in the United States. My second point is I firmly believe, after talking to MLAs for years, that there are many things that happen at the municipal level that they don't understand or don't know are happening. Mr. Mayor, I think we're wasting a tremendous opportunity if every fiscal and social impact comment that you just mentioned and the reasoning for us having this debate is not put carefully into a letter and sent to the Edmonton Caucus Chair Matt Genereux with a request to have him ensure that our entire area or regional caucus become aware of the impact of their government's decisions. I'm talking personal connection as opposed to what the media might write about this particular discussion. Now, Councillor Walter's comment, or pardon me, Councillor Loken's comment about, I hope we're not going to do this. Well, if we do it on others, other items that have the same argument, I think that individual letters about operating budget motions that are a direct impact of downloading by the provincial government receive the same treatment in another individually worded letter sent to our caucus chair. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm mindful of the time, so I'm going to Councillor Caterina.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and this is a tough one. Certainly, it's nobody's arguing the validity of the program and the need for it, but I'm going to agree with the Mayor on this, that at some point in time, whether it's this year or next year or 10 years from now, at some point we have to show or negotiate from a little bit of strength. If we agree to this and the Mayor goes in and asks for them to start paying again, that's never going to happen because we've already filled that vacated space that they provided. I think we have to go in there in a position of strength that we will fund it for one time for the next year, and it gives us some breathing room to negotiate with the province, not sending the signal that we're in no matter what they decide. And I think that that's a better footing for the mayor to go in and negotiate this on behalf of the city. So. And not to say that next year at this time we'll have a year, and next year at this time, if nothing happens with the province, then we will make the decision again to either fund it or not, and I assume that we would fund it again in the following year. But at least the signal is that we're in for 1 year, and the province better be in for the balance of it. I think that's the starting point. Whether we finish there or not, I don't know. But I would agree that this is a much better start for this then showing that we are in no matter what happens. That will absolutely leave the province out because they don't have to. We've already taken over that room, as we do for other things here in the city that we've committed to, knowing that it's their responsibility, but we decide to do it, whether it's housing or other things. I can remember when ambulance was a big subject of discussion where we had to top it off $12 million a year, which was the provincial part of what they weren't funding. You know, so I think the mayor has a very, very good point here with the 1 year on a one-time basis, and then we can revisit this again in 2015. So I will be supporting the 1 year with the one-time funding is where I'd like to see this go. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Madam Clerk, just some help here.
Certainly.
Our first item that we're voting on is
largest number, so
that the ongoing, then the 2 year, then the 1 year. Is that my understanding?
I would have voted on the 2 year and then the 1 year, but you could treat the ongoing as the largest impact and choose to vote on that one first.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So
I think
two,
vote on the
1, then ongoing.
Yeah, that 2, was the 1, main. Then ongoing. Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
So just for clarity, we are voting on 2 years of funding first, then we'll vote on 1 year of funding, which amends the main motion, and then ongoing.
Just as a point of order, that puts a number of us in a tough position, because we'll be forced to try to get to the full time, we'll be forced to vote against the two other packages that we might support if the first one was defeated.
Mr. Mayor, Madam Chairman, taking the point that Councillor Henderson has raised, I think this does put us in a similar position to the helicopter situation, and therefore we should actually consider voting on the ongoing, and then on the 2, and then on the 1. Thank you.
So back to my original thought, ongoing, 2 years, 1 year.
You were right, Beth.
All right. Councillor Walters said I was right.
Ongoing first, then 2,
so,
then 1.
I'm calling the vote on ongoing, then 2 years, then 1 year. All right? So voting on ongoing funding, a yes vote is ongoing funding. Please vote. And display the vote. And that is defeated. So we are now going to 2 years of funding. Please vote for 2 years of funding. We have to clear the board. There we go. Please vote. And display the vote. So 2 years of funding has carried, so that defeats 1 year of funding.
Yep.
So at this point, I will return the chair.
Okay, we have our scheduled recess here for that announcement that we're going to attend, and then we'll pick up with Op 3 at or about 10:30. Thank you. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We're back, and congratulations to Enbridge on their announcement of going into the Kelly Ramsey building, and to John Day for his vision, and thank you to members of council for the flexibility to allow a number of us to attend that important announcement for our downtown. So, calls back to order with seconds to spare. And we're now up to Op 3, which is the transit motion. Councillor Esslinger.
Thank you very much. And just before I begin opening comments, I just want to confirm the right amount with Ms. Rosen. Is it the 1.9? Is that the correct amount that I would need?
No, it's the 2.376 million.
Okay, so that is correct as in the motion then?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Actually, she said 376 and there's 378.
This is 2.378. Okay, as long as we're all clear.
Can I just get some clarification on that then? Because the number gives us, the package gives us a gross and then a revenue and a net. And why would we move the gross?
So in terms of actually amending the budget, you have to increase the budget for the expenditure. It doesn't mean that it will actually hit the tax levy for that amount of money, but you do have to give the transit branch the opportunity to expend those funds.
So increase the budget by 2.378.
Yes.
With a draw on the tax levy of 1.976.
Yes.
And that creates annualization of 1.233.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So we're all clear then on the net effect of the tax levy is 1.976, but the motion has to authorize the full expenditure. And then taking into account the revenue, the actual draw on the tax levy is 1.976. So your motion's in order with the larger number. The draw will be less because of the revenue. Okay? Okay, it's in the motion, actually.
And just to open this conversation up, this is for New Peak Service. Many of these communities have been waiting, as we heard yesterday, 2 to 4 years. And in some of the areas, like the Northwest, I know we don't have a lot of transit riders up there. When I looked at the map that we saw in previous this year, but they don't have service. And we've really increased the density, and they really want to participate in an urban form, and they need a transit to do so. So I'll just leave it there.
Okay. Councillor Sohi, are there any further questions on this one? No, just to speak. Councillor Sohi.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and members of council for your indulgence into this. As Councillor Esselinger has mentioned, we are really far behind as far as providing transit service into some of the new communities is concerned. And this lack of service is pretty much all over the city and all parts of the four quadrants in the new developing areas. But also, this funding includes expansion into some of the industrial areas as well. Industrial areas where there's a need for workers and access to transit is a hindrance for businesses for recruitment. And I hope that with the implementation of that peak hour service, it will be easier for employers to attract workers into those areas. I don't want to add too much to this, but this is something that we have talked about a bit in the last budget discussion as well, and in the light of the review that will be done in the transit, that review is going to take a number of years, but in the meantime, there's a need to implement service in the communities, and I hope council supports it.
I can't pass you the chair. I have to pass it to whoever's next, which would be Loken, who's not here. So, Councillor Gibbons, if you could just take the chair.
I'll take the chair.
I won't belabor the point, I think we do need to expand service because our service standards, whatever they wind up being after we're done the transit review, are going to provide service to every part of our city. What that service looks like may change, but I know there was some suggestion that we should wait, and I think we have to be cautious about adding too much, but in this case, this is really core service to these growth neighborhoods, and I think the councillors have made fair points about the entitlement of these new neighborhoods to a bare minimum of peak service, and we are behind on this because transit hasn't had any significant additions, and so I'll be supporting this because I think these resources will be needed in these neighborhoods in some way, shape, or form, always going into the future. We may reconfigure the specifics, but this is a real impact of growth, and as we discussed with Mr. Stolte, there's no allowance for growth in the budget other than the activation of the Nate LRT line, which frees up a couple buses, but we really do need new service hours, so I'll be supporting this.
I'll return the chair.
Thank you. And then to close, nobody else? To close, Councillor Essinger.
Thank you very much. And as we heard yesterday, there is buses that have been freed up to address that, so there is not a capital impact on this. So I think that's important for us to understand as well. And certainly, I think as we begin to change a city, we have a responsibility to provide service throughout the city. And this is our core work, so please support. Thank you.
Please vote on Op 3. No amendments. Display the vote. And that is carried. Next up is Op 4. Councillor Essinger again.
Thank
you. Councillor Anderson, you were on the board there for something, or was that from before? Okay, Councillor Essinger then to introduce Op 4.
Thank you. This is a request for $50,000 funding to fund the Royal Canadian Air Force Commemorative Park. I provided a document on your desk this morning that talks about the description of the tribute to our Royal Canadian Air Force men and women. This is similar to what happened, I believe, the last budget prior to election for the PPCLI, which was for the Army, and so I think they've saw that as an opportunity. The project in total is about $202,000. They're asking for $50,000 from City Council, so I'll leave it there.
So just a clarification to the mover, are you asking for this to be pre-allocated from 2015 council contingency or out of the balance of what's available for 2014?
I just specified council contingency because I believe we had some left from 2014.
So 2014 council contingency.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I believe it's 2015 council contingency. I believe there's nothing, well, actually there...
No, there's
it could be 2014. Yes, there's 139,000. It could be
in council contingency for 2014. So
thank
it's
you.
In order. We've done this in the past. It's really the 2015 budget, but it would just be carried forward through reserves, pre-allocated and carried forward by direction of council. So okay, that's in order. Then thank you for the clarity on that, Councillor Wilkin.
I hope council support this. This is not unlike the other three we've done in GRESPA. We've done PPCLI. We've done Airborne. Airborne and Navy. They are expecting sources of funding from other sources, as you can see with the handout. Also, I need to commend Canada Lands once again. Marvin Newman has gone way out of his way once again to make this possible by cutting a lot of the costs that they would have incurred by absorbing some of the costs that that they would have had to pay. So this project actually would be a lot more, but because of Canada Lands, once again, they've been able to cut costs on it, so I hope council will support it.
Are there any further comments on this one? Deputy, no, Councillor Gibbons, if you could take the chair. Yeah, but it's that's motion, so Councillor Gibbons, if you could take the chair. I'm going to support this because I think this information is helpful. I think we may want to consider in the future for requests like this that it might be more appropriate to bring them through committee and then through council to draw council contingency outside of the budget process. But given this information and the context, I'm happy to support this. It's just a caution that that it might be better in the future to bring these through committee. So I will support this because the information provided answers the questions that might have come up otherwise through committee. So that's just more of a process suggestion for future reference. I'll take back the chair.
I'll return chair.
Okay. And any closing comments?
No, it's quite straightforward.
Okay. Please vote. Sorry.
So are we inserting 2014 in the motion?
Yes.
Yeah. One time, just to confirm.
One time, yeah. Yeah. One time funds from 2014 council contingency. Please vote. Display the vote. And that's carried. All right. Op 5, which was the ITU. Councillor McKean, you were going to amend this. You had meant to say ongoing. Based on
I had meant to say ongoing. This was a yeah,
it is a 5-year
on my part. Is that do we need an amendment or can that be friendly, Mr. Mayor?
Well, if there's no objection, we can take that as a revision that reflects the mover's intent. I'm not seeing any objection, so that would be ongoing, and it's really ongoing up to 5 years because it's a 5-year.
Mr. Mayor, I wonder if we could confirm whether the funding source is the tax levy or funds available to City Council.
Well, it is in the end the same thing, but
yes, and the way that we have shown it is as tax levy funding.
Okay. Well, it nets out to the same thing, but you can make it if there was still close to this available out of the funds available.
A million, which we then allocated 500,000 to in for the 2-year commitment.
Okay, so there's $500,000 left there?
Yeah.
But that presumes that all the motions stacked against that pass.
Yeah,
which,
and
which we don't know yet, so.
And you're right, it's the same thing. It's just that based on the information that we gave you previously, it's just about how we're keeping track, Mayor Iveson. And so at the end of the day, if you don't allocate that remaining money, it reduces the tax levy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to introduce this.
Councillor McKean.
Go introduce ahead. This, Mr. Mayor. This the request is for the city's contribution to a series of races over the coming 5 years. Edmonton just hosted the grand final, the last race of this season, and was a tremendous success. Our city administration just did an incredible job, and the ITU, the organizers, the head office, as it were just unbelievably impressed by how well Edmonton carried this off, and a lot of the credit went to our city staff. I don't have the spin-off number in my head. I don't know if Ms. Cochran will be able to answer that, but there was considerable economic spin-offs multiplier from this one race, and then the reputational advantage to this was that it was broadcast in 160 countries around the world, and I think it was yesterday that I mentioned the TV coverage blew me away as a hometown guy, just seeing how fabulous Edmonton looked on the screen. And we could not buy that kind of advertising a minute of it in 160 countries. It would break the bank. So to have an hour or 2 hours of coverage in 160 countries, I think I don't have Ms. Davidson or Mr. Ferguson from EEDC to tell us the advantage of that, but I think we all recognize it's a tremendous advantage to Edmonton to have that kind of exposure. And on top of that, with the coming Velodrome, Edmonton is also becoming a center of excellence for triathlon in Canada, and I think the advantages to that are real. And probably a little hard for me to quantify, but I think it's been a tremendous boon to the city to host this. We have one of the most recognizable triathletes in Edmonton with Paula Findlay, and I encourage council to find its way to support this. Thank you.
Councillor Anderson? Well, let me just check. Are there questions? Are you to speak, Councillor Anderson?
I'm asking questions.
Okay. On questions, then go ahead. Let's just deal with questions again like we did before and then come back around speaking. Okay. Go ahead.
What was the decision? Funding from the tax levy or funding from the money available to council?
It still says tax levy, so.
So it is not the same because the $9 million available for council is... This is my question. Is in the original 5.3, correct?
Yes.
And funding available from the tax levy would increase the 5.3, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. So it's not the same.
So do you want to amend the funding source to say?
No. The motion, I'm going to support this, but as long as, I don't care where it comes from, but it is not the same. One increases the 5.3 and one does not. And I simply am asking for clarification now from the mover. Does he want to increase the property tax draw, or does he not want to?
Well, I would seek the advice of Ms. Rosen on this.
So right now, assuming that all of these motions that currently have a request in for the funding available to council were to pass, you would have $900,000 left because you just put $107,000 towards the $1 million. And so given the order, given that this is up front, you could change the source of funding somewhere down the road. If you were to pass all of the motions, one of those would have to go to the tax levy.
But it's kind of jumping the queue to go after funds available.
Well, not necessarily. This is the fifth motion that was made. Right. So if you...
Because it's a five-year commitment, is it better to do it from the tax?
It actually is the same both ways because the $9 million was ongoing money as well. So it's just a matter of whether or not you want to deal with... Like, realistically, you can absolutely do what Councillor Anderson is suggesting and change it to...
But if we have 900,000 left at the end of the day, we would just effectively buy down.
Yep.
Right. So I'm not going to worry about it.
Okay.
I'm not changing it.
Okay. In the interim, it makes a difference, Councillor Anderson, in the final analysis, it nets out.
Well, no, it doesn't, because me or anybody else can vote against that future motion and not increase the property tax draw. This doesn't. And that was the question I asked the mover. Does he want to increase the property tax draw or not? And he said yes. So I'm going to support it because I think it's very valuable. But it does increase the draw right now. Thank you.
Councillor Walters.
Forgive me for not asking this earlier, but the value, or what do we lose if we don't fund this? Bluntly.
Well, I think an expectation both within the triathlon community and within the public that we've let go a good thing more than anything else. We've worked hard over the years to establish ourselves to be able to put this on, and we're at a stage now where after what we did last year, this will be sort of a natural course of events, and I think
this allows us to keep doing it.
Yeah, we don't
do it.
Well, if we don't do it, we don't have that event at that time of year, and there was a lot of good vibe about it, and I think it was a free event. It was extremely well attended. It was very popular, and I think it's, as has been said, I think Councillor McKean hit it right on the nail that the reputation of Edmonton, both locally and nationally and internationally, has really been enhanced. We've had a lot of ITU international delegates go out of their way to try to support us on some of our future bids, Commonwealth Games.
So this leverages so much more than
it really does leverage a lot.
So, in terms of the tax levy question, this is one of those things, because of that, in my view, that the $9 million is for. So, to help keep us in check. Thanks.
Councillor Henderson?
Just an observation and a question.
Okay.
So, just for information, it was interesting when the Olympic Committee was here and a number of us joined them for dinner, and I met the ITU people, and we actually began speaking about something that's been in the works for a while that actually could fit in with very well with this, and that's a winter triathlon, which has a circuit that's beginning to build. Quebec City's in already. I think the Finns are in already. There's a lot of interest in seeing if we can get on board for that, because we already have the rudiments of it with Silver Skate, and it ironically would be using exactly the same locale. So there's an opportunity there that I think we should need to continue to follow up on, and obviously that opportunity becomes that much easier if we have the summer one happening as well, because they do fit together. So I think there's some other ways in which we can see growth here, and I think the ultimate push is to try and get winter triathlon recognized in the Winter Olympic sports as well, and that's where they're heading. So, and a real opportunity for us to get in on the ground floor of that. So,
thank you. Councillor Essinger, if you could take the chair.
Have the chair.
Just in speaking to this very briefly, first of all, about the attribution of the funds, I'm assuming my assumption would be that if there is funds unused out of the $9 million at the end, that we would automatically, not automatically, a motion would be required, but that we would put that back to the tax levy. That is my expectation. I will move that motion should the need arise, and that is the way in which, making that assumption, it nets out to exactly the same thing. So that's why I'm not losing sleep about the source of funds. The returns on investment for this are fourfold in my thinking, and they go from the concrete to the abstract. In the concrete terms, you know, this is an injection of hotel nights for the athletes, their extensive support teams, and spectators and enthusiasts for this event. And it won't be quite as large as last year, but it's still going to be very significant. And we've seen those numbers previously. Two, there is the opportunity for us to put our city on television at you know, really its golden moment of the year, and it looked just phenomenal, just phenomenal. I was in the high-def TV control truck, and they put on a bit of a show for me. They said, okay, we got the mayor, let's get some sweeping aerial shots, and they did a real nice job, but they did that nice job for the entire time, and the city looked great, and the messaging that the announcers were providing were, you know, they drive past the University of Alberta and say, the University of Alberta is known for this and this and this and this. And so it wasn't just the visuals, it was the content. And I think that EEDC and our offense people and everybody else worked really, really well to leverage this opportunity to produce a many-day-long commercial about what a beautiful place this is and how many wonderful things are happening here. So that 160 countries of coverage to tens of millions of households of people who are interested in sports and wellness and competition and who are in some cases connoisseurs of great cities to visit, there is a return on investment there in terms of putting our city on television and it looking so good. The third is what we've been able to do through the first event was really up our reputation in terms of international event hosting at a crucial time in our event attraction strategy, alongside the great work with FIFA, alongside the great work with the Tour of Alberta, alongside the continuing designation of Edmonton as track town in the International Track Classic, and the Pan Am and Olympic qualifiers are coming here this year. But this is a very, very high-profile event, and it puts us in good company with the seven other cities to be on this circuit. It's a great company to be in. We'll get mentioned over and over and over, week after week after week, as one of the circuit cities, which is great name recognition value for Edmonton. And reputation enhancement around event hosting. And then finally, and this is the most abstract and in some ways therefore the hardest to quantify, but I can only speak anecdotally from my own experiences, I found it absolutely inspirational. Absolutely inspirational. And Councillor Henderson and I participated in the celebrity beer league triathlon, basically. But to be in the presence of some of the fittest human beings on the planet in our city, and then to see people from all walks of life, all ages, coming together to celebrate wellness and fitness, I think that has an inspirational value to our whole community. I talked to many people who got on their bikes for the first time in a long time, who are running again. You know, I'm working on my swim so that I can do a little better next year. So I think that that's in the abstract. It's hard to put a number on that, but it does inspire our city to have these events as well as the tangibles that we net from them, and so that's why I'll be supporting this. Take back the chair. Please vote, unless you wanted to close, Councillor McKee. Okay, thanks. Please vote. Display the vote. That's carried. Okay, next is Op 6.
It's me again.
Councillor McKee.
Mayor Iveson?
Sorry.
I'm wondering if, because this is one of the one-time from tax levy, I'm wondering if it might be in order to now make an amendment, given that we have some annualization one-time funds available with the passing of the transit package, to change the source of funding to one-time funding from available from annualization.
That would be in order now, because that is a valid funding source at the present time. So I'll offer that option to the mover, subject to the consent of the group. Is that okay with you, the mover? So taxes would not go up. We would draw from the one times that available. You're happy with that?
I'm happy.
Are there any objections to that on council? No? Something else? Sorry? No? Okay. Then we'll deem that a friendly change to the funding source, that it be the one-time funds now available for council, and that those are made available by the annualization to the transit package. So, okay. Did you want to speak to this, Councillor?
Yeah, just to introduce it. The first part of this plan, as it's envisioned, would be to do an economic development strategy for the area. And I think that's really critical, given that the BRZ there has struggled a bit with, I think, developing a consensus in the area, developing momentum in the area. You know, and I've long been such a fan of Chinatown. I think it's a tremendous resource in Edmonton, but it's not as it has not reached its potential for a number of reasons. We have some work to do in the area on social disorder, which I think this council and our police service is committed to. But what intrigues me too is I'm starting to get email from second and third generation Chinese Canadians who really are interested in getting on board on this, and I think that's integral to the plan. So we're not looking right now at taking the bridge out or the costs of redoing the streetscape. We're not necessarily looking at the issues right away about tying north to south and those sorts of issues, but I really think Chinatown and those of you who travel, and I know many of you have seen Chinatowns in other cities that are so successful, and I think our Chinese Canadian community is really, really interested in seeing this happen, and I am such a fan of the area, and I think with the museum going in, we have a more natural bridge between downtown and Chinatown that we can take advantage of as well. So I think the time is right for this, and given that it's not coming off the, not going on the tax levy now, I think it makes it even more supportable. So I'm hoping that council will support this plan. Thank you.
Councillor Anderson.
Ms. Rosen, what's available in the annualization account?
$1,233,000.
Because this can be fully funded from that, I certainly will support it. Thanks.
Deputy Mayor, if you could take the chair.
Have the chair.
Just really quickly, just so I'm clear on the service package on page 384, it is one time. $339 in 2015, then there's another $239 required in 2016. Am I reading that right, Mr. Rome?
Correct. For the second year, we're taking out $100,000, which would leave $229, correct?
Okay, so the motion, just so we're clear, funds the first year at $339, and then to the mover, we'll loop back around, we'll have to find the other $200 to carry on the second year's worth of work next year.
Yes.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, I'm okay. Well, I didn't put that together in my mind, and I probably should have.
That's why I asked the question. Yeah. But I'm thinking $200,000 once we've seen the first phase of work is not, from my own point of view, it's not going to be hard to come by. But rather than make this an ongoing draw, since it really is one time, I applaud you for bringing it forward this way. And I think we just have to flag that we may need to come after the second phase of work here in a year's time. But it's almost something we can fit in contingency. So it's not a concern. I just wanted to flag it. So I applaud you for taking this conservative approach to funding this, and encourage you to not waver. Okay, I will take back the chair. And Councillor Oshry?
Just a quick question for Mr. Ohm. Is the timing of this, is the timing right? Or is a year or two make a difference here?
I would say the timing is right, and it's been referenced in terms of all the activity that's currently underway, including the RAM, the revitalization effort being run through great neighborhoods.
Any further comments? Councillor McKean, to close.
Well, just quickly, in light of Councillor Oshry's comments, I know that the feedback I'm getting from the Chinese community is that this is long overdue. They've been asking for this. And I think the economic development strategy was something that was put to them by our administration properly and prudently, and they're excited about it too. So I do think the time is right, and it sends this right signal to them. And I just there is a sort of a growing amount of interest and support in the broader Chinese Canadian community too, to get involved and get behind this. So I think the time is right. Thank you.
Okay, please vote on op 6 with the amended funding source to be the annualization one time. Please vote. Display the vote. That's carried. Okay, op 8, Councillor Sohi. Sorry. Op 6 is what we just did. Op 7 is Heritage Council.
Yeah,
Councillor Henderson.
I mean, I think we asked a lot of good questions on this one when they were there. I mean, this is allows the Heritage Council to get on with what they were created for. It also helps them deal with some of the stresses we put on them in trying to fulfill our commitments to the Aviation Museum, which I think we got some really good news on in the last Community Services meeting. This allows all of that to happen. The Heritage Council is still a young council. We've been building them slowly, and this allows them the next step. So I would encourage everybody to support this so they can get on with the work that we set them up to do.
Are there any questions on this one? Deputy Mayor, if you could take the chair.
Have the chair.
To the mover, can you help clarify for me your understanding of how this supports the Aviation Museum? Because I was struggling with that a little bit.
Yeah, it doesn't support the operational piece. I think the operational piece is coming out
that's,
of the different...
That's covered
that's,
already?
That's out of their operational budget. But this is the project money that allows, I think, things like the Aviation Museum and other heritage things to do the new program, to actually create to move forward on the things that we don't have right now. So it was part of why the Heritage Council was set up, was to facilitate these kind of project programs and do work that's outside of the kind of run-of-the-mill work that we've had already. I mean, it was the point of setting up the council and moving forward. So, and that includes, I think, the changes and shifts that the Aviation Museum is going to have to deal with in their rethink and reconfiguration. So the museum is certainly part of that, but it's not. I don't want to mislead people that this is not the base operational funding. But a lot of the base operational funding will now be eaten up by the commitments we're making to the Aviation Museum, which gives less room for other things to happen.
Because the Aviation Museum draws from what we've already given them in a significant way.
Well, if you look on page 539, you can see. That isn't it. Yeah, no, that's operating investments. Sorry, no, I'm trying to look for. I was trying to look for the breakdown between the two programs, but there are. They have two different programs. One is project based, and one is operational based.
It's on page 540, Councillor Henderson.
Maybe to Ms. Cochran.
Yeah, no, the service package is on 540, but the breakdown of the two different programs they have. So,
yeah, that was on a previous page. I can't remember which page number. Maybe to Ms. Cochran. This is one of the few outstanding recommendations that requires money out of the Art of Living, right?
That's correct.
Is this the last one for Heritage, or are there more?
I'd have to check, Mr. Mayor, but it definitely was a part of it. I'd have to check.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if this is something that we could phase in over a couple of years with a lower amount this year and then a little bit more in a subsequent year, depending on what else is coming. If there's nothing else coming, you step it in.
I think there'll be more coming. Their evolution is starting to, they're starting to get some traction like the Arts Council did. And so, in fact, I got to tell you, we recommended they up their ask a bit because it wasn't enough to do what they needed to do, and the Aviation Museum just...
So they were on a program that would have required X, and then we've kind of asked them to do some more related, council has asked them to do some more related to the Aviation Museum, which all other things being equal is going to start to eat into what we've already asked them to do.
Exactly.
Okay, all right, okay, I follow. Then in that case, I think we may have to leave it as it is. I'll take the chair back.
Chair.
Councillor Nicol?
Yeah, I'm just having problems with the language you're using, Ms. Cochran, so let's get to exactly how this is going to help. Can you give me specific examples?
Well, the Heritage Museum is an arm's length.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. I'm now talking about giving you $275,000 to do...
When they grant... Yep. Museums and heritage organizations in the city who no longer come through us, similar to arts agencies. And they had a dollar value in mind for their ask for the year, but with the money that the Aviation Museum was needing to sustain itself therein, they weren't going to be able to do both. So under our advice, Mr. Smythe and myself met with both groups and suggested to the Heritage Council that they up their ask this year because they are starting to get traction as an arm's length.
What does traction mean?
They are starting to get some take-up of their Heritage Grant program.
So people are applying, they are getting money.
Yes.
To do stuff.
To do stuff.
What kind? Okay. I agree with you, Mr. Mayor. Perhaps this should be phased in, but we'll see if there are any other comments. I guess I'm the only person here to make the comment. But
there are other questions on this one? Anyone wishing to speak to this one? Okay. I guess we're ready to vote then on Op 7. Please vote. Display the vote. And that's carried. Okay, now we're on Op 8. Councillor Sohi.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a couple of questions. Ms. Rosen, when I look at the figures here, cause this is a pilot, right? Starting in September 2015, if this passes, so the expenses are $568,000 from September 2015 to December 31st, 2015, right?
So the way that the service package is actually drawn up, Councillor Sohi, it's not drawn up as if it were for 1 year only.
So this is drawn up as ongoing then?
It is.
Okay, so that means that, so just want to understand, is 1.591 will be the cost from September, December, then from December till, no, from January till December?
Yes, so 1.591 is the cost for an annual level of service.
So this gives us 15 months of work, pilot.
So what it
is not ongoing.
It is ongoing. So the way the service package is drawn up, this is ongoing funding. I would ask Mr. Wanzer if that was not their intent, but the way the service package is drawn up, it is ongoing funding.
Councillor So, yes, that's the way it is drawn up. The intention would be to come back after a year and give you an evaluation of how it's being received, what our ridership is, what our advice is going forward. This is really the first stage of late night service that we would see if it's successful, potentially expanding to other areas of the city.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you'll provide a report, then make a recommendation at that time to continue, not continue.
We'd give you some advice on what our results have been.
Okay, all right. I'll speak to this later, Mr. Mayor. I think others have questions.
Okay. Councillor Knack, question? Okay.
And again, just the recommendation might be to stop, continue, or expand upon, too, because it could be very successful.
That's a possibility.
Which is why the recommendation here is to do ongoing, and then if we need to alter it, as we would with any other ETS routes, we would do that. So, okay. Thank you.
Councillor Walters?
So, you know, my hesitation is, you know, here and in a number of other spaces, because trying to be mindful of where we're going to land, and I don't hesitate, because I understand the demand. So, Mr. Wanzura, just to confirm, the demand for this is significant enough, of course, for us to do this, notwithstanding our percentage tensions.
True, we've had requests for late night service, especially for late night industries, industry support and economic development support, or I guess hospitality industries, hospitals, employment centers, that sort of thing.
So, Mr. Rosa, one side of me says, well, we could kind of revisit this next year, but you know, this year we went through a capital budget, which is adding to the increase, but we've smoothed everything, so it's going to be the same tension possibly next year as it is right now.
So I think that where your decision would hinge is if you're not actually sure at this point in time whether or not this is a service that you want to offer on an ongoing basis and truly do want this to be a pilot to test that out. If you believe that you're leaning more heavily towards that this will be an ongoing service, but you do want an evaluation of that to determine whether or not you want to tweak the amount of service, whether up or down, then you should leave it in on an ongoing basis. But if you truly, as a council, haven't made up your mind yet and do want some pilot information in order to provide that information and to make the decision, then you could do it as a pilot. It's going to cost the entire amount to do a one-time, because it would be from September to September to get the pilot. So it would still need a one-year cost. It would just be spent a one-time funding spent over 15 and 16.
So back to Mr. Wanzura, the notion that this is a pilot, based on identified demand, the pilot would, what would the pilot tell us? Would it tell us, would it pose us with the question of whether we continue to do it or not, or would it pose us with a set of other operational questions, but still continuing to do it?
Well, the first thing you'd learn is, you know, the ridership. What's been the uptake? How it's been used? Are the hours appropriate? Should they be run till 3 a.m. or less? Or is there different tweaks you can do in terms of how you deliver it? That's the type of information. We'd also be looking to engage with users and industries. Is it valuable for their employees and that sort of thing?
Okay, thanks.
Councillor Loken?
I don't have a problem. Well, I had a problem in the past. I don't think I did support this in the past, actually. I was going to support it this time, but after listening to some of the arguments, I would be more comfortable supporting it as one time. When I think of all the other priorities and all the other amendments we have to face here while trying to keep this tax increase contained, I think this is one of the things that, especially the fact given, again, I've given this speech a number of times as well, and in wards like mine, I have neighborhoods that don't have any bus service. So that's where the tension lies for me. So thanks.
Councillor Henderson?
Well, just to be clear, we just passed a package that deals with the question of the wards that don't have any service. That one's just passed, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Yes.
So, I mean, in terms of this question of one-time or ongoing, at this point, we would not have enough one-time money to fund this left in the package, I don't think, would we?
So not entirely.
That's not really an option for us. Ironically, this will create some more one-time money if we pass it as an ongoing package, but...
Yes.
But we don't have enough one-time money available if we don't pass this package to fund this.
You would have enough money available to fund about two-thirds of it, $894,000, which would leave you $428,000 that you'd need to find from somewhere else.
And we did a pilot, and it was quite successful. We did a pilot 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah. And I think that the consideration of this as a pilot, and I would absolutely defer to Mr. Wanzura, but it was more from a perspective of should this actually be expanded upon. So based on putting it into service on an ongoing basis, the pilot component of it, I believe, referred to the fact was...
We need to find out. And I mean, essentially, this is extending our coverage by a couple of hours on a few mainline routes only, correct?
It's not a correct...
So it's a toe in the water.
So essentially what this is doing is increasing your transit budget, and then ultimately within your transit budget there's an allocation of service.
But, I mean, we know, I mean, this is something we've been, I mean, this is not a question of, I mean, I remember your predecessor saying 5 or 6 years ago this is not a question of if, it's a question of when. And we know, Mr. Wanzura, we know we're having huge problems with lack of taxis, with traffic problems, because people literally can't get home. Our last buses running right now are all running pretty close to full, are they not?
Not on all routes, but certainly not.
Yeah, I mean, that's my experience on the mainline routes. You know, they're packed. So, I think the ridership's there. And the other thing I think that we need to remember is, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you can provide someone a way home, they can also take the bus in to begin with. So that's a choice that's not open to them right now. Because if they can't get home, then transit's not an option. So it actually increases ridership in both directions, correct?
That's a potential, yes.
Yeah. I you know, we have been dithering with this for so long. I don't think it's a huge toe in the water. There is huge need for this in certain parts of the city. It's creating safety issues in certain parts of the city. It's part of what's been creating our problems with the taxi problem. I think we have to recognize we're a big city, and if we're going to be running as late as we do as a city, we need to step up and provide service, because quite frankly, those people pay taxes too. And leaving them and all of the business, the significant business that we get out of and economic drivers we get out of that business and not serving them, I think, is just not acceptable if we're going to be a city of this size. This is a step forward. It's not the whole package by any means. And let's find out how it works. It's a pilot in the sense that we can always pull it a year from now if we're wrong, but I don't think we're going to be. I think the demand is clearly there because we're getting it already in the service that we're running up until the point where we stop.
Councillor Essinger.
Thank you, and I certainly support the idea of creating additional service and late night service, but I'm not sure if I'm ready to go with an ongoing package. We're doing a considered transit review. We just passed new people and they waited a number of years. I guess I would have been more comfortable with a one-time look at it and then get the results from the pilot. But that's me.
Councillor Sohi? Oh, no, to close. Can you click on again? I apologize for that. Councillor Knack, you've asked questions. You're ready to speak?
I wanted to ask a few more questions.
Councillor Anderson to speak? Okay, so we're going to need a second round.
Second.
Okay, moved by Councillor Caterina, seconded by Councillor Walters. The second round of questions on this. Please vote. Display the vote. That's carried. Okay, on questions, Councillor Knack.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And sorry, I guess the question I would have is, say we do this ongoing. If this route wasn't performing, Mr. Stolte would stop running it, correct? I mean, he wouldn't keep running it if nobody was on the bus.
You're right. We'd make operational adjustments, frequency, that sort of thing, routing adjustments, to see if we can meet a need.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's just an important distinction because, I mean, he does that throughout the year on all routes across the city. So it's pilot piece to it. And again, we did a pilot that was fairly substantial before the past council did one. I know through my conversations when I walked the beat with them, but did the EPS talk to you about late night transit before?
Not to my knowledge, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I'll talk about that when it comes to the closing pieces then. Thank you.
Councillor Walters?
So just in terms of the, because Councillor Henderson raises this for me, that this is really just a toe in the water. So this is how many routes are we going to extend time on?
There's five general areas, downtown to West Edmonton Mall, Lewis Farm to Capilano, Millwoods to Kingsway, Legere to Eau Claire, and Crone to Clairview.
So if I was to make the argument that we should wait and this would be part of our transit review, which is really about the not just the geographic coverage, but the coverage on the clock, could you imagine us providing a much greater late night service potentially after our transit review?
Well, I think it's largely driven on demand.
Right.
The proposal here in front of you is the first stage of a broader implementation if it continues to be successful. So if you look at drawing it back to the report that was in front of the Transportation Committee, there was a set of routes and they expanded over multiple phases. So it really is driven on demand and service to the community.
So we know we have demand on those routes you've identified.
Yes, we believe so.
We believe so. Okay, that's good. Thanks.
Other questions? Councillor Henderson, do you have questions or to speak? Everyone else who's on the board is to speak now? Okay, Deputy Mayor. You have a question? Okay, Councillor Nicol, go ahead.
Dorian, let's talk about the metrics and the measures. And in against the scope of the broad review, could an argument not be made that it is premature to throw this package on when we're talking about literally the difference between the universality of some service, right, and this particular package? It's just, are we putting the cart before the horse?
I think that the going into a strategic discussion about transit is going to answer some of those questions about what does the community want, what is council prepared to provide. So it'll speak to that coverage ridership model will speak to where do you want to be in terms of frequency of service. Do you want to target your transit service to one segment of users or one cohort of users? Yeah. That sort of thing. So
I'm just pointing out, and I'm not trying to put you in a hard spot, but there is the tension there between the larger transit review, is there not, about the complete aspect of the service, and doing a one-off here that might not necessarily deliver the best value because we haven't done the whole review yet. Is that a fair argument?
Well, I think you should. I'd encourage you to look at best value across the entire
framework.
So you've got high demand peak hour routes that are very good performers, up in that 70% cost recovery range. You've got other routes that are on the other end of the scale, but are necessary to have that complete network. So to look at one route or one type of service in absence of everything else might be a little bit narrow.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm going on this night service. I know there's some areas that will need it, some areas probably won't need it, but without a framework or a larger framework and examination of the total service, it leaves me asking the question: is it the cart before the horse? So, thank you.
Is everybody on here to speak, or are there further questions? Councillor Essinger, if you could take the chair.
Have the chair.
Our only experience with late night transit was the one pilot that we did, correct?
I believe so, correct.
Or the service that we run until 12:30 to 1 a.m. currently.
Correct.
That is well used.
Correct.
Especially on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays.
And certain quarters, yes.
Yeah, which is what we're talking about here, is expanding those hours. I mean, there's two questions. There's 24-hour transit, you know, and coverage all over the city, and then there's late night on the major frequency network that exists already, which is already a different kind of service. Now, every other major Canadian city runs its buses later. Right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So if we do a transit review, is it likely that by the end of that, one of the recommendations might be that we run some kind of later service? I mean, not to predetermine the outcomes, but, I mean, we've been talking about this for 5 years.
I think it's fair to say that will be one of the areas identified for improvement.
And we may or may not have resources, but our ability to assess whether it's even a good idea would be informed by the operation of a year's worth of service while we're actually doing the review.
Yes.
That would be the value of thinking about this as a pilot and knowing the resources are there to at least continue this level of service if nothing else changes. But if we learn from this that the demand is great, then good. And if we, after doing the transit review, decide this is not the best place to put limited service hours, then we could take this money here and put it into another place if it's ongoing money. Or we could delete at that point one point, what's the net cost?
1.39.
1.3 out of the transit budget at that time. So, I mean, if there's a will to track this, I think it will be tracked by virtue of the fact that we're going to do the review, assuming that motion passes. But I think it might be helpful to put if this passes, to put a subsequent motion on the table suggesting that we get a report in December as part of next year's budget so we can understand the preliminary results for the first 3 months, and then that we get a further report back well into next year that will contribute to the intelligence going into the transit review. So that's a suggestion that we could, if there's a will to treat it that way and to scrutinize the expenditure, if council authorizes the expenditure, that would be one way to do it. So I'll take the chair back, having offered that suggestion. Councillor Oshry, are you to speak or questions? Question? Okay, go ahead.
So the review is going to take how long?
Well, it's a staged process. The first stage is about community engagement and concept and conceptual planning. And there will be a stage gate process for council to weigh in on what that is. So we're anticipating about a year for that to be in 2015 to have that completed. And then there's an opportunity, with a green light with that, we can start to look at network design and what would that look like in terms of service on the street. So that might be another 8 or 9 months.
So, the second phase there was including redoing the network potentially with all the changes?
There's a little bit of that in the first part, but if you got a green light after the first stage, you would do that in much more detail.
It'll be 2 years until there's any changes to the system. Practical changes to the system for the users.
At the pace we're going, that's probably about what we're at.
Okay, I think and there's likely, I'm not sure if you can answer this, but is there likely significant changes coming?
Let me rephrase that.
So there's potential for significant changes, at which point you'd have to look at this program as well as all the other ones, which we're going to look at anyway, is that right?
That's true.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Okay. Are there any further questions? We're ready to move into speaking to it.
Mayor Matheson, I'm wondering if I can just raise the fact that this is one that requires capital. So just for
Does
consideration.
It? I thought Mr. Stolte said this one didn't.
So that's not my understanding, if Mr. Wanzera wants to confirm.
Clarification from Mr. Wanzera?
No, this is off-peak service after hours, the previous service package was peak hour service, which has got your high demand usage for all your fleet. This is late hour service, so we should be okay. We're anticipating.
You should be okay on this one?
That's my understanding from ETS.
Okay, well, we'll verify that before we come back to vote on the main capital motion, because it's been raised, but we'll take that advice from Mr. Wanzera. Okay, is everybody ready to speak to it? Okay, Councillor Anderson.
I'm trying to remain consistent. I didn't support adding money to transit for increased peak service, and I won't support increased money for late night service. Thank you.
Councillor Knack.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think it's important to maybe draw our attention to the revenues in the two service packages, the one we just passed and the one that we're discussing right now. In the one we just passed for new peak period service, revenue was estimated for 2015 to be $402,000. And if you divide that amongst the 16 routes, you're looking at about $25,000 in revenue per route. If you go to the late night transit service, we're at $269,000 per route. And there's five routes, which actually brings our revenue per route expected at $53,800 per route. And I raise that because I think the comment about do we wait until we complete the transit review, you know, if we felt there's a need to wait, we probably should have waited on the other one versus this one, because this one's actually expected to generate significantly more revenue per route. The other piece that I wanted to talk about and why I felt it was really important to make sure we had this discussion is that I had a chance during the summertime to walk the beat on two different routes, both White Ave and downtown. And the reason I asked the question about if EPS has been in contact is that was something I asked the EPS officers when we were walking the beats on both downtown and on White. And I asked the question, do you think this would be valuable? And universally, from every officer that was involved with this, it was yes, because it helps provide another option for crowds to disperse at those times. So I think that was really a crucial thing on their side of things, which is an element of added safety to help move our late-night users of our service. I also found it interesting, when I walked in Jasper Ave, I went to talk to one of the business owners of one of the largest bars on Jasper Ave, and I asked him the question, you know, what would you think about late-night transit for your area? And it was funny that he said, I would take significantly stricter liquor laws just to get late night transit servicing Jasper Avenue. And it was because he found that what's happening at the evenings, when again the crowds are dispersed, people are all trying to get the cabs, which are extremely limited as we all know, and this provided just another avenue for people to get home at the end of the night. On the Jasper Ave one, what was really interesting is when I left after walking the beat, it was about 2:45 in the morning, so I was walking back from about 104th Street back about 10 blocks away. And at every bus stop along Jasper Avenue, there were crowds waiting for a bus that wasn't going to pick them up. I was stopped by a couple of gentlemen who said, what's the best way to get to the LRT? And they were obviously had spent the evening at one of the establishments, and they were just wanting to get home, and they said, where's the LRT? So I pointed them in the direction and said, LRT's right there. Unfortunately, it's not running anymore. You can't get home to via LRT. And they sort of looked confused for a moment. They think, well, how are we going to get home then? And so now they had to fight the rest of the crowds for cabs. So when I look at this, and you know, I recognize this transit review is going to be going forward, but again, we are pretty much the only major Canadian city not to have late night transit service. This is a service that Councillor Henderson was talking a little bit about, and it provides that options for those who work in the late night industry to be able to get home, to be able to use transit to get to work and use it to get home, because right now they really don't have that opportunity. So it's for all of those reasons, for the actual revenue, which is probably one of the big pieces there, but for the safety that EPS has talked about, for the desire of the businesses who serve the late night industry, and of course for the riders who have been asking for this for years, when the past council had done a previous pilot that was successful, just for, unfortunately, for whatever reason, that it didn't get funded at that time, even though it was a very successful pilot. So I think it's time that we move forward on this, and like every other route, it will be judged, it will be scrutinized, and so I think there's value in keeping this go forward, and I think the mayor's comment of the subsequent motion makes sense, but I think we absolutely need to fund the late night transit. It's going to bring us significantly more revenue. It's going to provide all the same reasons. So I encourage everyone to support this. Thank you.
Councillor Henderson?
Yeah, I would also support, I think absolutely we need to report back in a year's time to understand where this is. I think in that sense we can think of it as a pilot, but I think we do need to get on with this. And let's be clear, it's not just about the entertainment business, it's not just about the late night business, it's also about people working in hospitals, it's about people doing other kind of shift work. That's a major part of it. But I'm going to talk a little bit for a minute about some of the people that maybe wanting to use it in that late night entertainment business, because I would argue that they are exactly the people and exactly the energy that we are trying to attract to our city. They are the people that look to an urban landscape to provide them that kind of energy, and that's part of what our success in this city has been built on, I would argue, over the last few years. It's that generation that's using that service and expects it to exist in a city. And that is also the generation that is trying to make the choice not necessarily have to drive anywhere, not even to have a car if they can get away without it. And we're not giving them that choice. We're basically saying to them that they don't count, that because they're past a certain hour, that transit is for other people and not for them. And, you know, we've been working on this for a while. It is modeled on the way that other cities have built their late-night transit on core routes, not on saying we're going to run a bus service all night long on all routes, but giving people a rudimentary service so they can make that choice. And I think it's overdue in terms of us being able to build the kind of city we say we want to build and get ourselves to the kind of mode shifts that we say we want to get to, that these are the users that are wanting to make that choice, and we're not giving it to them right now. What we're giving to them instead is a mess of transportation where either they line up for hours for cabs that aren't there, or, even worse, get in a car that they shouldn't be driving, which is also something we should not be encouraging. And I think it's time we stepped up and did this. We've been talking about it for a long time. If it doesn't work, we will know in a year and we can pull it. But I think all the indicators right now are, given the kind of ridership we have late at night, which quite frankly is busier than other times of day in some of these areas that we need to be able to serve, it's time we stepped up and did this. And anyway, I would really strongly urge people to support it. We can think of it as a pilot, but I think we need to put the money there, and if we're not keen on it, we can pull it out a year from now. But we need the information, too. This is going to tell us an awful lot about whether we're right or wrong on that. And if we don't go ahead, we will be doing our transit study with a huge piece of data and a gap of information missing.
Okay, I have two more speakers on the board, so I think we should probably stop. Because I can't guarantee how long anyone's going to speak for. So, and it's pretty much the time now. So we'll pick this up at 1:30. Okay, thanks. I just didn't want to limit anybody to being to a short close just because of the time crunch. So we'll come back at 1:30.